Welcome to Attached, a platform for adding breadth and depth to everyday living. I'm Yaakov Danishevsky, and this is the Fresh Perspectives series, where I invite the rising stars of the mental health field to share their insights and observations. I'm particularly excited about this Fresh Perspectives episode because, in my mind, this is a very unique episode in that my guest today is Rabbi Josh Blass, who is a Rebbe of mine, a Mashgiach at Yeshiva University and the Rav of a Kehila in the New York area for about 20 years, involved in so many different organizations and projects and community initiatives and so many very distinguished and significant things, and is very unique to have his willingness to join me in this series, because the Fresh Perspectives episode is typically geared towards people who are more starting out in their careers, and that's kind of the niche and the angle that we're bringing in this series. I asked Rabbi Blass to come on this series in particular, even though he is very, very veteran and accomplished in his work and in his impact in the community, because he has more recently entered more focused into the world of therapy and social work, focusing on trauma and addiction. And so I think it's really interesting. What I'm curious about is hearing for you how you what you're seeing in our community now that you're coming with this fresh perspectives, not to be too cliche, but coming with this fresh perspective of putting on even more of the mental health kind of set of glasses, what you're seeing as something that our community is struggling with, something that's an important topic for us to relate to. And thank you so much for making the time to do this.
Thank you, Rabbi Danishevsky, or Rabbi Yaakov, or however you go in this space. And I should just say before I start, what an incredible pleasure it is and an honor to be joining you today. As you referenced, I was or am a Mashgiach Ruchani in YU for 20 years. And every once in a while, you're surprised when you see a student, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years later of what they are, what they've become. You as an accomplished rabbi, therapist, author, community leader is one of the least surprising developments that I've seen over the last 20 years, and even knowing you when you're in high school. But it brings great nachas to your family and community and the yeshiva where you are in your life.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure that I know how to answer your question, because as you mentioned, I spent, you know, 20 years in the rabbinate, and, you know, the rabbinate is really, as you know, a place to sort of get a look at what's going on in the community. You know, you walk into a shul and you see, you know, Joe Schwartz and this person and that person and all sorts of Jews. And, you know, hopefully if you're somewhat effective as a Rav, and that means both in regards to the, you know, X hundreds of people in your own shul, but just having sort of a pulse a little bit on the community. And often people might come to you from outside of your shul because, you know, maybe especially, you know, Yaakov, you and I, maybe coming a little bit from like a YU background, people might come to us sort of thinking that they could speak to us about certain things. Maybe they don't want to speak to their own, you know, rabbi about. So you end up getting exposed to a lot in the Rabbanus. And, you know, during that period of time, you get to see an enormous amount, you know, an enormous amount of generosity, an enormous amount of joy, an enormous amount of families that are functioning well and kids that are doing great and systems that are working. And thank God you're exposed that day in and day out. And you're also exposed a lot to that not happening. And that's especially true in a place like Muncie, where maybe perhaps unlike, you know, Chicago, West Rogers Park, where you're living, but a place like Muncie, where there's a certain like almost fundamental instability. A lot of people that grew up one way who would now have changed, right? Either they were grew up Hasidish and now they're not religious, or they grew up very yeshivish and now they're somewhere else, or they're Bali Tshuva, or very large families, or, you know, you're just exposed to a lot of what's there, you know, in the world. A lot of trauma, a lot of abuse, you know, a lot of addiction, a lot of people sort of trying to find themselves, you know, in different types of ways, people trying to find closeness to God. And I think that's something that I was always exposed to. And just As a therapist, that work continues, maybe in a more limited way because you're not involved as much communally, but in a deeper way, you really get to sort of see people's stories and lives, impact of institutions, impact of childhoods, impact of needs not met. And it's very meaningful, and it's very meaningful to see that. It's very meaningful to be connected to that. And I don't know if I have like a great insight into where our community's at, on a broader sense. I think what I see more and more is that as much as sort of things change in the world, what stayed constant is people's search for meaning, people's search for connection, people searching to have a meaningful relation with God. I think that's always been true. I think it's even more true now where there's so much loneliness in the world and such sort of a ubiquitousness of technology and complexity and large families. I think that that's the one common denominator probably of all the work that I do and you do is people searching, and in our community where there's such like a richness of opportunities of yeshivas and community involvement and opportunities, et cetera, but that continues, man's search, and I think that's even maybe even more so now than when I was a kid, 45 years ago, a certain fundamental, deep, profound, almost like loneliness of man's search for meaning in a way, and I think all of the work that we do, I think it's only connects properly to that.
Obviously, the search for meaning and an increased search for meaning is a very positive thing. I'm curious, do you think that that in some ways could actually be a way of framing some of the increased challenges that we're seeing? Meaning, because people are actually searching for more meaning, is there a fallout that might come from that? Or, maybe it's net positive, but some of the things we're seeing that look like issues are actually really resulting from that greater thirst for connection or meaning.
Yeah. Well, I think that's true. I think it's true in many, many ways, but to some degree, the search for meaning often is an outgrowth. I mean, the intense search for meaning, the intense search for godliness, maybe certain loneliness, that's often born out of like pain. It can sometimes be born out of, instability. It's sometimes born out of people not finding what they needed in their yeshivas or their homes. Now I'm going to go sort of searching. Now, all of that is beautiful, but anytime you go on a search, anytime you're looking, anytime you're looking to connect, anytime there's almost like an inherent danger or instability in that potentially, of running away from something towards something, of finding something intensely in somewhere else that you didn't have in your life initially, and often communal or national movements are even connected to that, in a sense. And then sort of jumping into something and then shedding a past and moving on from there. And yeah, there's a lot of beauty in that search. But like all searches, that needs to sort of exist in a healthy space and in a healthy type of way. And I think to some degree, like your job and the work that you do and what I do is, helping, encouraging growth and searching and peace, but sort of in a healthy type of way, in a framework that works in a healthy way in the context of a person's life. And I agree with the premise of your question.
Is there something that you're seeing now that you think is a particularly relevant or important issue? Maybe it's something you saw, when you were, in the Rabbanus role as well, but something that, right now is something that you're thinking about or forefront.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I have anything, great to add to that. I think the issues that I see probably is what everyone would come in here and talk about, which is especially among young people, a lot of isolation, a lot of sort of breakdown of relational skills, a lot of maladaptive coping skills in regards to internet use, whether it's the actual just quantity of internet use, whether it's pornography, whether it's, isolation, breakdown in communication, breakdown in family structures, like because of that. I think that probably most people that you would ask that question to sort of might say something along those lines. Something that I see, in every place, whether it's as a therapist or as a Rav or in the Beis Medrash, and the world providing things, for us that's out there, whether it's legalization of marijuana, whether it's the maybe much more of a central role that alcohol plays in community, whether it might be even capacity as far as more wealth in the community. Just a lot that's out there that maybe objectively is fine, but can be used in a very sort of maladaptive type of way and be used as escape mechanisms, can be used to sometimes create barriers in marriages and families. There's just much more out there that's there that people can grasp onto as a means of escape, or as a means of isolation. And that's complicated, because the solution is not at this point to, even if we would say that marijuana would be illegal, which it's not going to be, that's certainly not going to change the propensity of adolescents to escape to marijuana. It's always been the case. It's probably even more so now, I don't believe that the answer to the internet is by having an asifa and banning the internet, meaning, any solution that requires anything radical is not a solution, and then questions sort of how to, in a very healthy way, allow these things into the world. But that's probably, been the challenge probably of every generation one way or other, and certainly ours is no different.
So I know that your, deeper interest or passion in the therapy work is more trauma focused, kind of deeper type of work. But I also know that you're in the process of doing your certification for becoming a CSAT, a certified sex addiction therapist. So presumably pursuing that is a function of seeing some importance or issue that's prevalent in that regard. I'm curious to hear how that, came to be or what you're seeing there.
I figured that you would ask me that question and made me sort of think today of what made me want to be a CSAT. And I don't know, sometimes you sort of like make like very active decisions in your life. Oh, I'm going to go do this. And other times it's more you look up and all of a sudden you're like in the middle of doing something where it's sort of like happens very naturally. And I think it happened very naturally because it's so connected to sort of so many of the other things that I'm doing or interested in. It's so connected to trauma in so many ways. And we know obviously the statistics or the research about the correlation between trauma and addiction, and especially sex addiction. Sex addiction is so much a part of your life as a Rebbe or Mashgiach in yeshiva. I remember that I'd probably say maybe it was around the time that you started YU, which I guess was maybe, whatever that was, 11, 12 years ago, something along those lines. That makes sense.
A little longer, but yeah.
Sort of the transition between realizing or thinking about the challenges that young men, especially young men, and it happens with women also, but certainly, the majority is young men having with pornography. Sort of my mindset shifting from thinking this was something that you would speak about almost as like a Beis Medrash issue, as like a Yetzer Hara issue, speaking about it, not like almost the way that you would speak about other topics in Mussar. And maybe the whole world of Mussar needs to change from maybe what it was one time, and there shouldn't be a lot of guilt. Like Mussar, especially the way even Rabbi Strauss-Kahn views it, is much more sort of self-reflective and understanding. But whatever, like that the world of pornography in my mind shifted often from sort of like a Beis Medrash issue and how you would speak about it as like a Rebbe or as a Mashgiach or part of a Mussar shmooze to really sort of seeing it as like a mental health issue, like behavior in which people are powerless over, and what sort of the internal landscape of a person is leading to that behavior? What are the mechanisms of dealing with that behavior? Where is the role of shame in all of that? Where is childhood trauma and all that? And like naturally in the base matter issue, you begin to sort of see a the ubiquitousness of it, and also the realization that the base matter is just not equipped to deal with the issue of sex addiction, because it's not a base matter issue. And I think that just sort of spurned that on. And then in my own community, I can be honest when I tell you that every shul that I go into, there are people who are there, I know because they come to speak to me, who are involved in sex addiction recovery. It's so ubiquitous in the from community, and especially in a community like Muncie, where there's just a lot of people. It's much more, from my understanding, from what I see at least, much more of an issue in a yeshivish or Hasidic community as opposed to maybe more of a modern community in certain ways. And seeing the effect on families, on sometimes on children, definitely on spouses. So I guess all of that, my own interest, being in yeshiva, interest in mental health, being involved in the community, it just sort of like naturally leads you down a path where this would be an issue to deal with, and not to speak about anybody that's involved in anxiety or depression, that's a very, very, very important work, as far as numbers and percentage wise, that's where, so much of the resources should be towards. But it is missing in my mind. What, not that it's missing, but my own personal attraction is that addiction has so much of inner landscape, sometimes inner child work, sometimes issues that are not resolved, pain that's playing out as far as a person's life, built up shame, trauma reactions, etc. And like to me, sort of naturally, that's almost the way that I view the totality of a human being, a composite of sort of all of their life. And it's natural when that sort of is what you're almost inspired by, the total homogenous, larger viewpoint of a person, that you may lead to trauma work and addiction work and sort of things of that nature.
That transition from seeing it as a base medrash muster problem to seeing it as a mental health related issue is really really interesting and really important to think more about. Thank you so much for making this time. I guess I'll just mention, we usually have these episodes in kind of two halves, the first half being focusing on a problem, the second half focusing on a strength. But I guess actually you started out with a strength, which is the drive for more meaning. So we just kind of reversed the order. But I appreciate that.
And if I could add to that, there's so much strength in our community. The amount of organizations of, I forget about all the many, many strengths, but even the realm of mental health and where we've come as a community, and organizations that are helping to pay for counseling and wilderness programs for kids that now are have kosher programs, and just like I mean, you can go from A to Z of just sort
Yeah,
of where we are as a
absolutely.
community. And whether it's eating disorders, anything. It's just like where we are now versus a generation or two ago, or even 10 years ago, where the community is sort of seeing this the way that it should see these. These are often dine nefashos issues. These are communities, issues that can rip apart families and communities. And the community understands that and supports that. Rabbanim and Rosh Yeshiva and Rebbes and people from all over the community. And it's like a real reflection of our community being proactive to help people in need. And this is one of many, many, many areas where we see that, and excited to continue to sort of see the community standing behind mental health initiatives.
Rabbi Blass, always a schus to reconnect. Thank you so much.
Thanks for Yaakov. You show a lot of success in everything you're doing, and look forward to connecting for meaningful things in the future.
Amen. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, please follow us on WhatsApp, YouTube, or Instagram. All our podcast series can be found wherever you listen to podcasts. I'd love to hear from you, so please reach out with questions, comments, or suggestions, or to be added to our WhatsApp groups. You can reach us through email using yakov.attached@gmail.com or on WhatsApp at 773-888-2413.